Welcome back to Wasatch Channel. My name is Anton Vjeldsen. I'm an attorney in the Southern District of California here in San Diego. What I have in this evidence bag is my client's cell phone. Courts have long recognized that these devices contain lots of information, from conversations to medical and even banking information. We do a lot of things on our phones. And if you ever get arrested, law enforcement is eager to look at your device. That is because they know that phones often contain evidence of criminal activity. They might even ask you to consent to a search. So the first thing I'll tell you is never consent to searches. If officers have probable cause to believe that your phone contained evidence of a crime, they can go get a warrant. But otherwise, don't consent to searches. The next item that we discuss today is the scope of the search. If for whatever reason you consent to the search, the question becomes, what can the officers really do? Can they look at the conversations? Can they open applications on your phone? And if an incoming call comes in, can they answer it and pretend that it's you? And before we go on and discuss today's case, I want to thank you for watching me on YouTube, hitting that subscribe button. If you're listening to the podcast version of this recording on Audible or Spotify, please give my podcast a 5-star rating. And finally, if you want to support this channel, consider going to wasatch.com and check out some of my merch, including the Do Not Arrest This Person t-shirts. And don't find yourself in this situation where your phone is seized and you've consented to a search. Never consent to searches. Thanks for watching. Let's go on.
Quick message from Lawstash. Are you charged with a crime? Or do you want to know your rights if stopped by police? Watch California attorney Anton Vjeldsen discuss legal cases from the Supreme Court, Ninth Circuit, and California state courts on the Lawstash YouTube page. Anton has handled hundreds of federal and state criminal cases, has an in-depth knowledge of the law, and has the best mustache ever. Subscribe to the Lawstash YouTube page. That's Lawstache.
Today we'll be discussing United States versus Lopez Cruz, which is a Ninth Circuit decision, and it came from my district, the Southern District of California. Of course, I've been in front of Judge Sammartino many times. She's a fantastic judge, and in this case, she granted the defendant's motion to suppress. But first, let me give you some factual background. Border Patrol agents were patrolling Highway 80, which is close by here to San Diego. It is an area commonly used by individuals to pick up illegal aliens. Of course, as you know, San Diego is close to the border. Border Patrol agents were patrolling the area. They noticed a vehicle they didn't recognize, and the individual driving was doing what's called brake tapping. According to the agents, this is where the individual stops often, taps on his brakes to see if illegal aliens would run out and get into the vehicle. At some point, they also noticed that this vehicle made a U-turn and then stopped on the side of the road in the dirt. A Border Patrol agent pulled up behind Mr. Lopez. The agent was driving an undercover SUV, but he then turned on his emergency lights, walked up to the car, and engaged in conversation. The Border Patrol agent asked Mr. Lopez what he was doing in the area. Mr. Lopez responded that he was simply picking up a friend. The agent then asked Mr. Lopez about the two phones that he noticed inside the vehicle. Mr. Lopez said that the two phones also belonged to a friend. At this point, the agent asked Mr. Lopez if it was okay for him to look at the phones, to search the phones. Mr. Lopez responded yes and consented to a search. The Border Patrol agent took the two phones away from Mr. Lopez, walked over back to his patrol vehicle, got inside, and began looking at the phones. He was away from Mr. Lopez on purpose to make sure that Mr. Lopez doesn't hear or see anything. A few minutes later, one of the phones rang. Of course, instead of Mr. Lopez, the Border Patrol agent answered the phone. The caller asked, "How many did you pick up?" The Border Patrol agent answered, "None." And the caller hung up. A few minutes later, the caller called again and said, "How's it going? What's going on there?" The Border Patrol agent again said he didn't pick anybody up because there were too many Border Patrol agents in the area. Again, the caller hung up. Now, the third time the caller called and instructed what he thought was Mr. Lopez to return back to San Diego, to the house that they knew, to flash his lights, and two individuals would get out of the house and into the vehicle. Of course, the caller didn't know that he was talking to a Border Patrol agent. Now, at this point, the agent arrested Mr. Lopez for conspiracy to transport illegal aliens. And because of the information they obtained, they also arrested two other individuals who were actual illegal aliens. Now, we know that the Fourth Amendment protects you against unreasonable searches and seizures. But before you can invoke the Fourth Amendment, you have to show that you had a reasonable expectation of privacy in the items to be searched and seized. That is what's called standing. The reasonable expectation of privacy turns on two things. First, whether the person had an actual subjective expectation of privacy. And second, whether the individual's subjective expectation of privacy is one that society is prepared to recognize as reasonable. In short, it turns on whether the individual's subjective expectation of privacy is objectively reasonable. On appeal, the government argues that Mr. Lopez never showed that he owned the phones. And they also make the second argument that Mr. Lopez might have abandoned his reasonable expectation of privacy by renouncing the ownership of the phones, by telling the agents that he did not own these phones, but rather it was his friend's. Now, the appellate court agrees with the district court that the location of the phones being inside the vehicle suggests that Mr. Lopez possessed these phones and was in use of them during the time of the encounter with law enforcement. And of course, the agents themselves drew a similar conclusion. After all, they asked Mr. Lopez whether it was okay for them to look at the phone, to search them. So clearly they thought that Mr. Lopez was the one that could give them permission to search. And of course, we also know that there is no suggestion that Mr. Lopez was not in a legitimate possession of these phones. It was his phone at the time of the encounter, and for that reason, it was also not abandoned. He didn't throw them out. He didn't tell the agents that he has nothing to do with them. He simply said he didn't own them. So he still has reasonable expectation of privacy in the phones. And for that reason, he does have standing to challenge the search of the phones. Next, let's talk about the scope of the search. What can the agents do when they get consent to search the phones? It is a violation of a suspect's Fourth Amendment rights for a consensual search to exceed the scope of the consent given. The scope of consent is determined by asking what would the typical reasonable person have understood by the exchange between the officer and the suspect. At the suppression hearing, the agent testified that he asked Lopez, "Can I look in the phones? Can I search the phones?" Those were the two questions that he posed to Mr. Lopez. Now, in his declaration, Mr. Lopez wrote to the court that when he answered yes, he did not think that the agent would then answer the phone pretending that it was him. And if he knew that the agent would have been answering incoming calls, he would have never given him permission to search the phones. Now, on appeal, the government argues that answering the phone is basically the same as looking at text messages between Lopez and somebody else on the phone. Without deciding the constitutionality of whether an agent can read incoming text messages on a phone he has been given consent to search, we reject the government's attempt to liken incoming calls to text messages. When an agent answers the incoming call and engages the caller in conversation, as Agent Soto did here, he intercepts a call intended for the individual in possession of the phone and pretends to be that person in order to obtain information or create a new exchange with the caller. The agent's impersonation of the intended recipient constitutes a meaningful interference in the method and scope of the search in contrast to mere pushing a button in order to view a text message. The agent is not simply viewing the contents of the phone, whether incoming text messages or stored messages, but instead is actively impersonating the intended recipient. The takeaway here is that consent to search a phone is insufficient to allow law enforcement to answer it. So, as we go back to the beginning of this video, again, I encourage you, I urge you, never consent to searches. But of course, like Mr. Lopez did here, at least the scope cannot be exceeded by law enforcement. So again, if you consent to a search, officers cannot answer incoming calls. But again, never consent to searches. If you enjoyed this video, please click like, hit that subscribe button, share my channel with your friends and family. If you're listening to the podcast version of this recording on Audible or Spotify, please give my podcast a 5-star rating. And finally, if you want to support this channel, consider going to lawstash.com and check out some of my merch, including the Do Not Arrest This Person t-shirts. So what are you waiting for? Hit that subscribe button. Thanks for watching.